Okay, we are on Focus Factor Part 3. Maybe I'll get somewhere today. Now listen. Any person in their 20s can become a millionaire. See? It's not a select group. It's not a group of overachievers. It's not a group of ultra-intelligent people. It's any person in their 20s can become a millionaire. Doesn't matter how much education they have. Doesn't matter what they do for a living. Doesn't matter how much money they make, as long as they maintain an income of some kind. To do this, they must implement two things. You listening to me? Two things. You must focus and you must maintain your focus. There can never be a time where you lose your focus. I call it luck, but what I really mean is God's favor. Because I don't believe in luck, but I do believe in God's favor. And luck is the world's term to describe something godly because they can't give God the credit. But God sent me to a client that was a Jewish lady. And we became quite friends, me and her family, because I became one of their family. I had refrigerator privileges. I worked in their house a lot. And whatever you want, just refrigerator's right there, go get it. You know your family when somebody says you can get into the refrigerator, right? All right. So I asked her, I said, I don't want to be offensive, and I don't want to offend you, so please. She says, but I want to ask you a question. She said, well, go ahead. I said, well, tell me then this, please. How can the Jewish population, which is less than 10% of the world, control 90% of the world's money? I wanted to know. And she said something that changed my life. So simple. But it changed my life. She said, everything that we earn is not ours to spend. See, that's our problem. We don't spend everything we earn. We spend everything we earn and everything we can borrow. I'm convinced, unless of an extreme emergency, borrowing is of the devil. But we'll get into that another day. I said, what do you mean? She said, every time we get a paycheck, some of that paycheck has to go aside. It's not for us to spend that. And so from that day forward, and I was young, I was in my 20s, and from that day forward, I never had a paycheck I didn't save some of the money from. Might have been little, might have been much, but I developed a habit. I developed consistency. I developed focus. I was focused on having something someday. And I maintain that focus, and I've never turned away from it. Every paycheck that we still get today, we save some. The first thing I do in financial counseling is I try to figure out how much you've made in your lifetime so far. And then I ask you how much you have of it, which is usually none, because you wouldn't be in financial counseling if You had any. The rich people aren't asking me for financial counseling. You know who you are out here. You're not asking. You don't need no help. You got it under control. You must focus and stay focused. If at any time I lost my focus in what we were doing, we would not have reached our goal. These two principles are the key to success in every area of your life. In marriage counseling, I often tell them that they must go back to doing what they did to get the other person. What I'm saying is you are focused. I was so focused chasing Marjorie down, it was like laser. There wasn't nothing I wouldn't do. It wouldn't matter what she asked for. Wouldn't matter what she wanted. There wasn't nothing I wouldn't. My dad used to laugh at me because the phone would ring and I'd be out the house in seconds. I was focused. When we're trying to win someone's heart, we're focused. There's nothing we won't do for that person. That other person has a sense that they are the most important thing to you. Then comes marriage. Then comes time. Then comes life's responsibilities. Then comes marriage counseling. And sometimes divorce. More often than not. Why? You lost focus. You took things for granted. You no longer do the things that you had to do to get the person. All of a sudden, you don't say, I love you, like you used to say, I love you, when you were chasing. Maybe you don't open the door anymore. Let them get their own door. Maybe you're a little grumpier than you used to be. Marital success comes from focusing and staying focused. If you are in business, you will not make it if you allow distractions. If you are in business, then you need to understand that no is a complete sentence. No. Can you pick me up at the airport at 2 o'clock? No. I can pick you up at 7 o'clock if you want to sit there for 5 hours. But you have your own business. Uh-huh. That's why I can't pick you up. I'm focused in running my business, and I'm not going to allow your distraction to take me away from what it is I need to do to be successful. Others will try to stop you from maintaining your focus without knowing what they're doing, and failure will be your result. You have to understand that people do not consider your needs. They only consider their needs. They need to be picked up at the airport, not concerned that you're going to miss an opportunity to further your business. Being spiritually focused is the most difficult of all. Many of us come to church, we come to God, and we can't get enough. Can't wait to get here. Can't wait for the sermon. And many go from can't wait to the sermon till can't wait till the sermon's over. Man, is he long-winded today. Is he ever going to shut up? The answer is no, I'm not. We lose focus of what the sermon is for. And then all of a sudden, all the church distractions start entering in. And this one left, and this one said this, and this one's being a jerk over here. And we just take turns. Stop worrying about it. Maintain your focus. What did you come here for? You were supposed to come here to honor God. Are you honoring God when your attention is on somebody else and you've lost your focus? You're worried about what somebody told you. Why is that somebody so powerful that they can stop you from worshiping God? Where did you give them that type of authority in your life? You don't have no authority in my life. I don't care if you like me. I don't care if you hate me. I've come to worship God and God alone, not you. Amen. Get mad. I tell people all the time, you can get as mad at me as you want to, just don't stay mad. Right? There's no purpose in you staying mad. Get over it. I get mad at lots of you. I just don't stay mad. I get mad at Rob all the time. I don't stay mad. That's my brother. That's my friend. That's my partner. I'm not going to give him the authority to stop me from worshiping God, to learn, to understand. We have a saying, if you miss 3 Sundays in a row, we will probably not see you again. Now, how do we know that? We've watched it over and over and over again. Yes, there are a couple of exceptions, like you were out of town for 3 weeks or you were sick for 5 weeks or whatever. There's a few exceptions, but if you arbitrarily stop missing church for 3 weeks, we will probably not see you again. Why? Satan's got you on the ropes. And now he's got you out of church and he's going to give you reasons to stay out of church. Oh, there's a party you need to go to. Oh, here, free tickets to Disney World. Something's going to happen, and he's got you on the ropes. He's going to keep you there. I think we all have ADD. I also think we need to be trained, not drugged, for ADD. Do you know, and my sensor's not going to like this, but this pisses me off. They are prescribing marijuana to young children now for ADD. Nah, you're not getting it, so quiet down. And the parents think this is okay. And I'm losing my mind. How is that going to help their ADD? We're dealing with a case now when we're trying to get the child off of marijuana. It's sad. She needs to be trained, not drugged. See, you have to be trained to focus. We all lose our focus. I'm training you on how to remain focused. We must consider the prize. Concerning wealth, I want to retire and not worry about surviving or doing without. For marriage, I want to avoid divorce and have a happy life. Spiritually, my prize is to remember that one day I will stand before Jesus and give an account of my life. You know what we're going to talk about? What he remembers. We're not going to talk about what he forgot. Many Christians still think that you're going to stand in front of Jesus and talk about your sin. Not going to happen. If you are in front of Jesus talking about your sin, you're at the wrong judgment and you ain't going to heaven. Because Jesus said, I forgot about your sin. I forgave you, and when I forgave you, I forgot. So don't think he's going to stand there and have a talk to you about something he doesn't remember. But what he's going to talk to you about is what he does remember, what you stayed focused on, what you did for the kingdom, what you gave of yourself to the kingdom. That's what he's going to have a talk with you about. All that I've done for the kingdom, and I don't want to get rushed out of that meeting. Some of you are looking at 2-minute drive-through. Nope, I won't be there for a while. I'm going to have a long talk. You see, I'm devising a formula. That's why I love this sermon. This series, because I'm devising a formula to maintain my focus. Why? I have lost focus before. If you would have told me that I was going to be out of church for 10 years, I would have laughed at you and I would have told you you were crazy. I like that song by Pink, Who Knew? She said, if you'd have told me, I'd have punched you in the mouth. Who knew? I didn't think I could lose my focus. Do you not know that I'm one of the head deacons? Do you not know that I'm the one who takes the pulpit to give the message when the pastor's not there? Do you not know I run the men's ministry? Do you not know I'm the Sunday school director? Do you not know I'm on the visitation team? And yet I still lost my focus. Because focus has to be maintained, not taken for granted. And the next thing I knew, I was on the outside looking in. I don't care who you are, I don't care what you do, without an understanding of how to maintain focus, you can lose your focus. Last week, I recapped the 8 things that I use in my formula, and I'm going to write all these things down and put them on paper if somebody wants them when we're done with this series. I recapped 1-8 last week. I'm only going to recap 9 and 10 this week because that's as far as I got. Number 9 is I listen for God's voice. God's always talking. I think he talks more than Donna and Linda put together. Connie, I'm not as sure of. I think God just shakes his head with that one. He's always talking. He's always talking. Our problem is we're not listening. You're not listening because you're distracted and you've lost your focus and you're worried about how you're going to pay this bill and you're worried about how you're going to get here and you're worried about how you're going to do that. And you're worried about somebody else, and you're worried about this person and that person, and you're worried, and you're worried, and you're worried, and if you're not doing all that, then you're just mad at somebody. and you're angry, and you're in the middle of an argument, you're in the middle of a fight, and you're wondering why you can't hear from God, because God's whispering, and you can't hear him through the noise your mind is making. Your frequency's off. You have to be in tune to God if you want to hear God. I love quiet time. I just want to hear from God. I took this position 12 years ago, and I gave a sermon, and I'm thinking, oh, Lord, that was great. Uh-oh. Sunday's going to be here in 7 more days, and I need another sermon. I can't give the same one twice. But I do believe this. I believe that I've got about 5 sermons that I should just rotate till you get it. But if you go in my office, you'll see my sermons. I've been here for 12 years and haven't preached 2 the same since I've been here. It's because I had a little talk with God. I said, God, I need to hear from you. I need you to tell me what to say. Otherwise, guess what? 45 minutes of silence. I do not care. I ain't trying to impress nobody. I ain't trying to do nothing. I could stand here for 45 minutes and look at him. I really don't care. You better give me something to say. I'll say whatever you want me to say, but I need you to give me some. I need to hear from you. My sheep know my voice. Got to listen. The 10th thing was, I am kingdom minded. Kingdom minded. Is what I'm doing beneficial for me or the kingdom? Is it going to please God? Are my actions going to please God? Actually, I have an 11th. I didn't remember. Number 11 was remembering that Jesus went through, got him to the seat of God, the right hand of the Father. If Jesus endured, and if Jesus empowered me, then I can endure even in the midst of undeserved persecution. Jesus did it. Why can't I do it? He gave me authority. He gave me power that I could do what he did. He said, greater things will you do than what I did. And I smiled when I read that, but I didn't realize that meant I had to go through bigger persecution. Constant persecution. I don't think there's any bigger. Why would we allow persecution to cause us to lose our focus? Jesus maintained his focus. All right, so we're going to start with Matthew 15, 10 through 11. Jesus called the crowd to him and he said, listen and understand, what goes into someone's mouth does not defile them. People were worried about all these rules and you can eat this and you can't eat this and you can eat this on this day and you can't eat that day on this day. And Jesus came along and he changed everything. He said, that's not what defiles you, what you eat. It's not what defiles you. What goes into someone's mouth does not defile them, but what comes out of their mouth, that is what defiles them. The words you're using, are they defiling you? Because you cannot maintain focus in a state of defile. God said, apple tree can't bear an orange. What's in you? If I want to maintain my focus in the spiritual realm, I have to be careful what comes out of my mouth and what goes into my ears. I find myself correcting people more and more and more and more and more. You don't know that. No, you don't know that. You weren't there. But you don't know why they did that. Maybe they had a reason they did that. Why? Because I'm not going to let you take my focus away from what I'm doing and put it on somebody who doesn't deserve that attention. Just because you think you heard. Just because you think you saw. Just because you saw, but you don't understand. And so what if they did do it? What's that got to do with me? They're living their life, I'm living my life. I'm not their authority. Next scripture. Matthew 22, 36 through 40. Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law? They had so many laws they had to abide by. And here comes this Jesus and says, hey, you've heard it's been said this, but this is how we're going to do it now. Why? Laws don't work. If laws worked, y'all wouldn't speed. Laws don't work. The simplest law doesn't work. Don't speed. If I ever get to a place where I don't speed, then I can say I can probably obey most of the laws. But if I can't even follow that simple one, now, the older we get, the more we have a tendency to start. Yeah, we're going to slow it down a little bit. Slow it down. Jesus replied, love the Lord with your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. I struggled with that as a Christian, as a new Christian. I would go to church and they would say, you got to love God more than anything else. And I'm like, what, you've lost your mind? You see my babies right here? You see my wife over there? What you talking about? Love your God more than I love my child. How is that even possible? And I struggled with that, and I didn't understand that. And then through time and through understanding and through listening to God, I started to understand that the more you love God, the more you can love your babies. The more you love God, the more you can love your wife. Because God can show you a deeper love than you can even imagine. And the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. Who is your neighbor? Everybody's not your neighbor. Your neighbor who's whoever God puts in front of you. That's my neighbor. Don't matter that you don't live next door to me. That isn't the qualification of being a neighbor. That's the world's definition of being a neighbor. Neighbor is if God has put you in front of me in one way or another, one place or another, doesn't matter what state you're in. It doesn't matter if God's put us together for any brief encounter, you are my neighbor. And Jesus goes on to say, all the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments. In other words, nothing else matters if you don't do this. You got to have love for people, even those that don't look like you. Even those that don't talk the same language. I used to hear Spanish and it used to drive me insane. And they would tell me, why don't you learn Spanish? Because you're in America. Now my wife catches me listening to Spanish music. She'll get in the car and she'll turn the radio on. You listen to Spanish music again, yeah? I've evolved. Got a little God in me. I don't care what language you're speaking now. It's all good to me. It's all beautiful. I even try to learn a few words myself so I can surprise you. Think I don't understand? Okay. I've caught a few. Can't love your neighbor. God didn't say, love the ones that look like you, act like you, talk like you. No. I've got to love the ones that I don't even agree with. I don't agree with what you're doing. I think you're silly, foolish, whatever else I might think. It should not affect my love for you. Hatred causes you to lose focus. And you focus on the wrong thing. And there's hatred being stirred up like never before. I don't want you to hate a transgender person. You're not supposed to hate them. Where did you get that from? You don't hate them. You love them. That doesn't mean that you don't want to make a stand saying, I don't think a transgender male should participate in a woman's sport or bathroom. We got a case right now that a kid put on a skirt and he went into the bathroom and he raped a girl. And now the school's being sued for multi-millions, which is us. We're being sued for multi-millions because we fund the schools. Or we got a guy who just ran a race and he placed like 200th. And then so he entered into the girls' race and he placed fourth. They don't belong. You don't belong there. There's nothing wrong with saying that. There's nothing wrong with taking a stand. But I don't hate that person. I'm not allowed to hate that person. I have to love that person, irregardless of whether I agree or not agree. I'll still make a stand. What's the school being sued for? Is it 30 million? Is that what it is? 30 million? 30 million. I'm going on a what we call rabbit trail. She means it has nothing to do with the sermon, but I'm going to say it anyway. The United States of America has so lost its focus. And we are going to be tested right now. This is a huge test. A huge test. On whether we're actually going to stand with Israel or not. The wrath of God is going to happen if we don't. That's what's going to happen if we don't. is not a choice. Not a choice. But we've so lost our focus that we now pay, get this, in interest. The United States of America pays in interest every day, collects from you guys. Do you know what? How much we pay in interest every day? Does anybody know? Interest every day is $2 billion. Every day, $2 billion doesn't go to help people, doesn't go to help the schools, doesn't go to help the poor, doesn't go to incarcerate those that need incarcerated, doesn't go to fix the roads, doesn't go to anything other than to pay the interest on the money we borrowed because we lost focus of finances a long, long time ago, and we've now hit a $33 trillion debt. But I'm going to tell you this, and you can mark my words, and I'm praying it's not in my lifetime because I don't want to see it. The United States of America will collapse. Doesn't have a choice. You cannot continue to increase the deficit to increase your interest payments. We are going to default on these loans sooner or later, just like you're going to default. You keep getting credit card after credit card after credit card. You keep maxing them out. The day's going to come. You are going to default. Guarantee it. There comes a tipping point. There comes a place where you can no longer survive doing what you're doing. You got to focus and get a hold of it. You got to stop. Spending tomorrow's dollars today. And the government cannot understand that. They think they can keep spending our grandchildren's 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 money. And they're not even born yet. I can't even fathom $2 billion. That's a lot of money. Every day from taxpayers to pay a debt. Because we get into things, we don't have an exit strategy. I tell people all the time when they ask me my advice on doing this or doing that, and I ask them, okay, so what's the exit strategy? Well, so-and-so wants to borrow my car. Can I loan him my car? Well, you can do what you want to do. What's your exit strategy? What do you mean? When you're getting it back. Did you loan it to him and say, you can have it for 3 days, and then I want it back? Or did you just loan it to him and then sit there and twiddle your thumbs and wish I could have my car back? Which I've seen. You've got to have an exit strategy when you enter into something. We get involved in things, we have no exit strategy. And now we've got all kinds of people rising up against what we're doing in Ukraine. And if we pull the plug on Ukraine, Russia will devastate Ukraine. They've already devastated it, but they'll put an end to Ukraine. There'll be no more Ukraine. But yet, how long can we fund it? How many billions and billions and billions of dollars can we keep sending when we refuse to just go end it? Nonsense. And the government spends like there's no tomorrow. And our dollar keeps devaluing. And inflation is choking us. I go to the grocery store and shake my head at what things actually cost now. And I tell Marjorie, this used to be 99 cents and now it's $2.99. It's gone up 200, 300%, and they're trying to tell us, yeah, we have, 8% inflation. Yeah, okay. get real, can't even tell us the truth. Tell us the truth. Listen, if you want to maintain your focus, coming back to the sermon now, I'm done with my rabbit trail. You got to love one another. Period. End of story. Next scripture, Matthew 15, 18 through 20. But the things that come out of a person's mouth come from the heart, and these defile them. For out of the heart come evil thoughts, murder, adultery, sexual immorality, theft, false testimony, slander. These are what defile a person. But eating with unwashed hands does not defile them. If you want to be focused, you have to pay attention to your heart. The heart sends thoughts to your brain. And that's where the battlefield is, according to God. And we all have thoughts. You have some nasty thoughts. You guys got some nasty thoughts. It's true. That's not a sin. Your thought's not a sin. Meditate on that thought, that's a sin. Remove that thought, that's not a sin. I've told many of you this, but the best advice I ever got from a pastor was to make decisions before it comes to pass. In other words, if some girl's going to come on to me, I already need to make a decision. No. And then when it happens, I already know what to do. You already got to know what to do. You already got to know what to do in your thought process. And you know the thoughts you get. You know that you're going to have this thought later on today. It says, you know, hey, I'm going to have some drugs. You want some drugs. What are you going to do when that thought comes? Do you already know? Because if you don't know, if you haven't thought about it, if you haven't made a decision, if you haven't focused yourself, you are not going to know what to do, and you are going to lose the temptation. What do you do when that gambler gets that thought, it's time to go to the casino? I have a cousin right now that's just, can't stay out of the casinos. And all the talking don't do any good. And I have a friend that was a millionaire. And he got involved in the casinos and ended up being $200,000 in debt. Because he didn't know what to do with that thought that came at him. Let's go to the casino tonight. You already have to have an answer for that. You have to say, no thank you. That's the place that takes my money, and I don't see any point in giving them my money. I'm not going. No, thank you. That drug just distracts me, and I don't feel like being distracted. Maybe God's going to give me a business idea. Maybe God's going to tell me what to do. God only told me one time how to get this church. One time he told me. One time. If I was high, I'd have missed it. If I was drunk, I'd have missed it. If I was in the casino, I'd have missed it. If I was angry at somebody, I would have missed it. One time. This is what I want you to do. One time. You might have missed some of your best business ideas because you were not able to focus on what God was saying. And you know, God's been talking to you your whole life. You just don't know it was God. Where do you think all your ideas came from? Think they're yours? when that thought comes to talk about somebody, something in you's got to rise up and say, no, I'm not going to defend myself by talking bad about somebody else. And you could stay focused and have a victorious life. Hebrews 10:25, not giving up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. God says, if you want to stay focused, you're going to have to come to church. The more you stay out of church, the more you lose your focus. God says, do not give up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing. You don't know who you encourage when you come to church. Barbara comes to church and I'm so encouraged because I know what she's going through and I know the pain that she's in. And that's encouraging to me that somebody would want to hear from God that badly that they would fight through the pain to come to church. She don't know she's encouraging me. She does now, if she's listening. Look how encouraging it is to see Jeannie on the stage, even though she's got to bring oxygen up with her to sing. That's spitting in the devil's face. That's just spitting right in his face. That's encouraging to me. Somebody will take such a stand and say, I'm going to do it anyway, irregardless of my situation, my circumstance, my obstacle, irregardless of what limitation that the devil's trying to put on me. I'm going to get up on that stage and remove my limitations, and I'm going to sing to God like I'm perfectly healthy. Does that not encourage you? That's why we got to come together. We get encouragement. I think I'm out of time. Staying focused is the hardest thing you'll ever do, but it's the most rewarding thing you'll ever do as well. Because it'll pay dividends. It'll pay interest. It'll pay. I stayed focused in my business when I wanted to quit. And it paid off. When it didn't look like it was going to pay off and I should quit, I stayed focused and it paid off. When I wanted to leave church 1,000 times because they were being mean to me, and God empowered me because I didn't lose my focus and I didn't get run off by somebody who the devil was using as a pawn to keep me from where I'm supposed to go. You know, you got to ask yourself when you're going through something, why am I going through this? What's the devil trying to keep me from? What's he trying to keep me from? There's got to be something on the other side of this. There's got to be something. Why is he attacking my marriage the way he's attacking my marriage? Because something's got to break. Something's going to happen. There's going to be a breakthrough. So the attack intensifies so that you can't get the breakthrough. There's a breakthrough coming if you'll stay focused. Father, thank you for the word. Thank you for the day. And thank you for each other. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.